Confidence ingredient number one, self-worth. Self-worth is defined as the sense of one's own value or worth as a person. Some sources consider the terms self-worth and self-esteem to be synonymous, and others make a distinction between the two. We believe a distinction is useful. For our purposes, we'll define self-esteem as a person's perception of who they are in the world. In other words, it's the impression we have of ourselves in the context of the world that we're part of, and it's shaped by how we act, what we accomplish, how others relate to us, and our interpretation of all these things, whether accurate or not. Recognition of your self-worth will make you stronger in yourself. Good self-esteem can help you take this value into the world and put it to use. While we believe that both healthy self-esteem and a clear sense of one's self-worth can be valuable, we're emphasizing self-worth because it's not variable and subjective the way self-esteem is. It's a more objective and durable foundation. Self-esteem can be manufactured, and it can be devastated in an instant, depending on how much stock you put in, say, what a particular person thinks of you, or what your achievement on a particular challenge means about you. But your self-worth just is. Your self-worth is a fact. It's not variable at all. The only variability is in your awareness of this fact. The deeper and more constant your recognition, the more your confidence will be bolstered and your life guided by it. What we're really talking about here, and we're hesitant to break out the G word lest we alienate anyone, is the recognition that you are an expression of God. We're not talking about organized religion, and if you're averse to the word God, you can go with divine or spirit or Tao or highest self or oneness, but to us it's all the same thing. You are a vastness that is being expressed through the life of a human being, and as you connect more with this vastness, you'll come to feel more certain of your worth. This worth is undiminishable, and because it's your true identity, it's also the thing of absolute greatest value. A value that we believe transcends even the lifespan of the body you occupy. The awareness of this identity is often shrouded by a veil of mental noise, so the primary means of reconnecting to your inner knowing of this fact is through the deliberate practice of making space. Sweetness can also be a means of connection, but space is still a requirement. Therefore, working on your self-worth is kind of a funny thing, since it's not your self-worth that needs to be worked on, but your remembrance of your worth. In any case, we're going to offer some advice for building your connection to this truth and for simultaneously enhancing self-esteem in a way that's more stable and meaningful. Competence doesn't define your worth. It's common when embarking on a challenging endeavor to question your ability to succeed. As long as this doesn't thwart your progress, that's okay. But when you let this feeling get in the way, it's important to do some investigation and grow through it, rather than letting this be the end of the line. You might notice thoughts like, maybe I'm just not good enough at this. But underneath, perhaps, are thoughts like, maybe I'm just not good enough, period. The first could be a case of real or imagined lack of competence, while the second could be a case of unhealthy self-worth. When we interpret our lack of confidence as a lack of competence, we often respond by trying to learn more or improve our skills. There's nothing wrong with this, it's just not likely to improve our self-worth or self-trust. How does self-esteem fit in? Beginning in the 1970s, there was a growing belief that healthy self-esteem was among the most important qualities a human could have, and this greatly affected the way teachers and parents related to children. Wary of damaging kids' self-esteem, they criticized less and praised more. But it turns out these efforts were probably overly simplistic. In recent years, numerous studies have been conducted to gauge the impact of the self-esteem movement, and most have concluded that the benefits are superficial at best. Some research indicates that this trend has even contributed to a dramatic rise in narcissism. For instance, in 1952, only 12% of teens agreed with the statement, "I am an important person." By 1989, This number had risen to 80%. They were told, "Good job," countless times by adults, and lo and behold, they think they're great, regardless of what they do. We're certainly not opposed to people feeling good about themselves or believing they're important. However, we can now see that this artificial self-esteem derived more from what others told them rather than from an objective self-assessment of their accomplishments, didn't translate to happier, more productive, or successful individuals. Instead, as compared to past generations, this population is prone to experience a lack of drive to grow, to achieve, and to develop their abilities. They feel anxiety to achieve at a level that matches their possibly inflated self-image. They see dissonance between their perception of themselves and their lack of objective success. And they experience depression from the realization that they may not be as impressive as they thought.
The structure, sweetness, and space of self-worth. The nutshell version is this. Allow space to connect to who you truly are beyond what the world tells you. Experience the sweetness of your intrinsic worth. Structure a habit of consciously witnessing your mental dialogue and learn how to keep your self-criticism from undermining your self-esteem and obscuring your sense of self-worth.
Self-worth, as we've said, is a value that doesn't change even if we go bald or lose all our teeth. And it has nothing to do with worldly accomplishments. Healthy self-esteem urges you to face challenges and triumph over them. Together, they're an exciting and gratifying part of life as a human. Perhaps more importantly, there are innumerable ways to use self-worth and self-esteem to serve the world, to help others in need, to help the planet itself, and to preserve the beauty that the confusion of human expansion threatens. The recommendations that follow are for three purposes. First, to help you tune in to your self-worth. Second, to help you overcome beliefs that serve to obstruct or deny this truth. And third, to help you be more honest in how you construct your self-esteem. Don't define yourself through your looks, your skills, your accomplishments, or your reputation. Through the vast awareness that is you, you have the capacity to experience the deepest peace, the most complete love, lightness, grace, awe, and unimaginable beauty. This gift yearns to be shared with others, to help, to heal, and to illuminate the world. You deserve it. Make space. Find the space between your thoughts and the golden sweetness that lives there. The sweetness is in the space. Ask, "What am I really?" and listen. Love yourself. To love anyone deeply and completely, not holding back at all, makes most people afraid, at least a little. It makes us feel vulnerable and fearful of losing this love. And the same is true of loving ourselves in such an unrestrained way. Plus, we face the added challenge of seeing ourselves so close that there are an infinite number of mistakes and flaws for us to scrutinize and to use as reasons to withhold love. Love yourself anyway. Don't feel selfish. Loving yourself deeply and completely may strike you as narcissistic. It seems more noble and selfless, perhaps, to focus your love on others or on God. But if anything, withholding love from yourself is an insult to the oneness, the universe, God, Tao, or whatever other term you choose, that created you and is you. Imagine the absurdity of saying to the universe, "Thanks for everything, I love it, you know, except for the me part." Withholding love from yourself also makes you a less effective conduit of love to others. If you cherish this life and the greatness that gave it to you and that is you, love the gift that you are. Stop comparing yourself to others. There's nothing to be gained from comparing your life to someone else's life other than inspiration. If you tend to fall into negative comparison, reduce your exposure to triggers such as magazines and social media, and remember that others' lives have nothing to do with your worth. Let them only serve as an example of what's possible. Cheer them on. Enjoy seeing other people succeed. Do you scorn a peacock for its fancy plumage? Do you scorn architecturally spectacular buildings or a gorgeous painting? No? Then neither should you scorn people who create impressive lives. Don't let others' opinions define your value or dictate your self-esteem. But do accept the compliments that are offered by people you trust, and consider even asking a handful of friends and family to tell you what they see as your three greatest strengths. Write them down and revisit them when you experience a lack of self-esteem. When someone compliments you, inhale and see if you can open and let it in without analyzing, deflecting, or objecting to it, either in your mind or verbally. Just say, "Thank you."